Ingram Smith, Bud Elliott, back again for another episode of the Nolcast. Bud, we'll kind of continue on with our recruiting focus here. Had a really solid round of developments for Florida State on the whole. We'll certainly circle back and mention some of the kids that we talked about in the last podcast, give people a comprehensive update as to where Florida State stands here in the final days of the 2018 recruiting season. But a lot to talk about tonight. Want to go ahead and jump right into some of the more recent developments we've had. As always, want to thank Louisiana Hot Sauce for being a continued sponsor of ours. Three simple ingredients, one fantastic product. Want to thank you, the listener, and I guess the social media user, for continuing to be creative in interacting with both us and them. Seen some great things recently. Hats off to the guy who made a homemade buffalo sauce a couple nights ago, including the LA_hot_sauce. Which is not always the easiest social media name to remember, but great if we get to tag our sponsor in it, and great for us to remind people as to how fortunate we are to be able to pair with Louisiana Hot Sauce. And with that, Bud, let's focus our attention here to what has recently transpired and what will transpire over the next 4 or 5 days as Florida State wraps up its recruiting efforts.
Yeah, let's do that. So Florida State, last week we told you, I got to tell you, man, I feel really good about how our podcast went last week. And I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying like, you know, we always try to review what we got right, what we got wrong, what we got right a lot. We got a lot right. What did we get wrong? Some. We'll talk about that. We said that we think that Florida State's still tracking to finish with the top 15 class. Ingram, right now they are the number 17 class in the nation. We said they got to do a good job balancing, you know, needs, but also talent. So don't take a bunch of scrubs just to get bodies, but understand which positions are shallow enough on your current roster to where you might need to take a body or two. They've done a great job. 71% blue chip ratio right now. Only six teams have a higher average recruit score than the Noles. So the only thing holding FSU down in the rankings right now, down at 17, is just the sheer number of commits. They only have 14. We think they're going to end up somewhere in the 18 to 22 range, depending on how things break. You know, do they take a running back in the class? You know, do they take three receivers or four? You know, or do they add, you know, two more D linemen and a backer? That type of stuff. So, anyway, I think the first thing we should do, and look, we try to do one show a week during the offseason. So, what we usually do is recap, discussion, look ahead. So, let's start with the recap of the weekend. If you're a major diehard recruiting fan, look, then you may already have heard some of this stuff, and I get that, but we have a zillion listeners to this show now, and we have to serve everybody's needs. So that's the diehard and the novice recruiting fan. They had five kids on campus last weekend. DeMarcus Adams, current receiver commit, that went great, and we tweeted out a bunch of really positive stuff. Jalen Goss, their offensive tackle commit, apparently that went well as well. I know that staff is really excited to have him. Y'all know that. Those kids were already committed. Let's move on. Not that they don't matter, but look, that's not news. Xavier Peters, awesome linebacker, kid who was committed to Kentucky for quite a while. And then I think because people realized that his grades were getting better and that he was actually going to be able to qualify, and FSU does think he's going to qualify, by the way, he's like a really high-level prospect. Let me say this. He might be able to be what we hope Jacob Pugh could be when we sign Jacob Pugh.
I think that's a fair, plays explosive, violent type of player. I mean, there's certainly
some
clips of his highlight tape that you can watch that let you know he has the proper mentality to play defense at a high D1 level, certainly.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, look, Raymond Woody already had a relationship with him, Mark Snyder as well. They're bringing him in as sort of a hybrid, you know, backer slash in type, which I think fits his skills very well. Allow him to go attack the quarterback, allow him to be aggressive, to be violent. Great commit for them. Also, another four-star commit, man. Odell Higgins does his thing in Central Florida. Nolcast listeners, I'm not saying y'all had to scoop on this. Y'all knew what kind of gear the kid was rocking on the plane. It was Noles gear, and you knew this idea that he was a huge Miami fan. Y'all knew that was nonsense. And, So Briggs, you know, coming off the Miami visit, doesn't give him a commit. And what did we say in the last episode? I think we said Florida State feels pretty damn good, to be honest, that he didn't commit on his Miami visit, and they feel really good about their chances. And lo and behold, He commits to them before he even leaves campus. Goes home, announces it on Twitter. Bam, four-star defensive lineman for Florida State. Really big deal. This one is. Mm-hmm. Good kid, good student, hard worker. I think he's going to be a valuable player for the Noles. And one of your major rivals, Ingram, doesn't get a kid who they desperately need to get because their depth just absolutely sucks in Coral Gables.
Especially along the defensive line of scrimmage. Yeah, no, it's a big, big miss for them. And Briggs was somebody that they had penciled in, if not pinned into their class. And getting a high-quality defensive lineman out of the state of Florida is always a great thing. Getting a high-quality defensive lineman out of the state of Florida that those in Coral Gables had more or less banked on is only made all the better. So, yeah, Briggs was a really positive piece of news and something I was particularly excited to see about from the weekend. Seems to be a trend that people commit in percentages nowadays, but always get a kick out of the tweet that people say they're 100% or 1,000%.
Our listeners are 1,000% committed to us after that call on Briggs. We know that. So, anyway, I got a question for you. Who is your favorite Miami defensive tackle selected in the last 10 drafts?
Well, there's a lot of us, you know, there's a lot to look back and think over and try to decide who. You know, forgive me if I'm having a hard time coming up with a name because
it's a trick question.
It could be a really, really big challenge to do so. Yeah.
Yeah, there are no answers, literally. They have not had any. They've had four defensive ends in the last 10 years, but no D tackles. That's an issue. So, look, for Florida State to beat out Miami for a kid who's basically being promised that he's going to walk in and play immediately day one is a big deal. Because, Dennis Briggs is not going to walk in, and I'm not telling you he won't play at all as a true freshman, but he's not going to walk in here and play 300-400 snaps as a true freshman. It's just not going to happen. At Miami, he very well could get a couple hundred snaps. And for FSU to overcome that, that's a big deal. To me, that also shows him a kid with a mature approach that realizes, hey, my body is not a finished product. I'm going to continue to grow into this. Maybe the best thing for me is not to be thrust into a starting role. Maybe allow me to develop on a more gradual plan so that by the time I'm a junior and senior, you know, I've not been thrown in there and been unable to develop physically as much.
Very good point. Bud, we'll move on to the next name, Jamarcus Chapman. Still got a Miami visit upcoming, but where do you think Florida State stands with him?
I think that he left that visit, basically committed to Florida State. I'm sure you've heard a lot of stuff as well. You know, being up there in Georgia, you hear a lot of the recruiting circle stuff. I don't know if you want to use the word silent or not, you know, but I do think that he left there about as committed to Florida State as you can be without coming out and saying, I'm committed to Florida State publicly. Now, here's the thing. That Miami visit coming up is no small deal. This kid likes Miami. Miami is going to give him the same playing time spiel that it gave Dennis Briggs. At some point, that's going to work on somebody because playing time matters to a lot of these kids. So I'm not as confident on Jamarcus Chapman as I was on Dennis Briggs. Now, that's not to say that FSU can't sign Chapman. They could. Mm-hmm. But I know some people think that he's committed to Florida State right now, like silently, and I just don't think like
I was going to ask you about that in particular. Yeah, I mean, that's certainly something that's kind of floated around out there. I don't know how much stock you put in it, how much stock you as a listener want to put into a silent commitment in general. I would tell you not to put a ton in. As long as a kid's still visiting, then
right.
The level of silent or commitment otherwise is not something that I particularly love to break down. And it just makes for a lot of good stories 2 days after signing day where you say, oh, well, this kid silently committed. Well, okay.
Okay, like for instance, Dennis Briggs told the staff he was coming, right, on I think maybe Saturday night, if not early Sunday morning. But he had a plan for when he was going to go and announce it. If you tell the staff, hey, I'm committed, but I'm still going to go take that visit to Miami, a school that I really like a whole lot, man, if you're that staff, you're like, oh, okay, well, hey, get back to us after that Miami visit, man, because that's not really, you know, fully committed there, you know. But I do think that they are in a much better place now than they were entering the visit to Florida State for Chapman.
But I don't know if this is necessarily something we got wrong, but it was definitely something we were surprised by, and that was, and you and I both used the same word here to describe this, but the lack of traction that Florida State got with either of the Rockledge kids was surprising to both of us. This is the Jayshon Corbin and Antone Green kids that we talked about last pod. And that we've talked about for a considerable amount of time leading up to this. But it doesn't appear as though there's been any real significant progress made at that point with either of those kids.
I'm really surprised. Like, look, there's still a feeling out period with this staff as far as how to read them. For instance, on the last staff, right, there was a guy who was a really good recruiter. Okay. He was by far their best recruiter. But you had to kind of take what he said and filter it through sort of a thing, right? Because he might tell you, hey, we're going to get Biggie Marshall. We're going to get, Justin Houston and this kid and that kid and that kid, like major national recruits. And
previous people were the same. James Coley, Eddie Gran are two people who had similar outlooks on kids when they were hunting for large trophy animals on the recruiting trail as well.
And there's no doubt that I think all the great recruiters share this trait, right? They all think they're going to get all these kids. Now, it's up to the head coach to say, hey, like, you know, we have to balance this and think about, okay, well, what if this guy's wrong? What if we don't get all these dudes? But you have to have that kind of crazy self-confidence to do it. I am surprised that they couldn't get more traction with the running back, Jay Sean, and then the receiver, Anton Green. Their plan was, hey, get Green to cancel his Ole Miss official visit because he's not going to go there and take an unofficial to Florida State. Well, they got the first part, but they didn't get the second part. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to end up in North Carolina now. Jay Sean, I'm not entirely sure. I think he's sort of like reconnected with the A&M staff some over there, despite the fact that, you know, Jimbo's not doing very well recruiting at Texas A&M right now. I think they're in like the mid-30s still. But yeah, that was surprising that they're not giving up. They're still calling on the kids. They're still trying. I mean, they really like those kids, and I think for good reason. They both had excellent senior seasons. They're really good players, probably better than their rankings indicate. But at this point, they don't seem to have the kind of traction for it. That one did surprise me. So, you know, little things you file away in the back of your head, okay, when this guy says this, you know, let's just see the patterns. But right now, it's a little too early to understand the patterns of some of these guys. So, mm-hmm. There's kind of a feeling out period.
A kid that we, in retrospect, expressed an appropriate amount of skepticism with, not so much the individual, just the prospect of him making his way to Tallahassee, but that is a kid out of the Long Beach Poly that we talked about, Jalen Hall. Looks like he'll be headed to Eugene to play ball.
Absolutely, man. I mean, I think we presented that to the fans in the right way. He came, his visit was good. Nobody over there thinks that he's like a lock to come, and, you know, Oregon is still absolutely very much in this, and Florida State's not the favorite. So that he committed to Oregon, I don't think that's a surprise. I feel like we told the listener about that in an accurate way. I mean, good for FSU to get some kind of traction with him. Obviously, and to get him on the visit, and you know, maybe he'll go back and tell his friends what an awesome visit it was. Because from all indications, it was a pretty good visit weekend.
Mm-hmm. A kid that we'll have our final update on, and hope that he wish him the best moving forward. Josh Moore, not a man who made his way to Tallahassee this weekend, and by all accounts, you can kind of close the book with him at Florida State at this point.
Josh Moore doesn't seem like he ever really got back with the staff, you know, for like the last minute confirmation thing. And that's not good. I think on the last podcast we said, quote, I'll believe Josh Moore is coming on an official visit when he actually gets off the airplane in Tallahassee. And I said it in kind of a joking manner just because this is probably the fourth time that he's supposed to come on a visit and didn't come on the visit. But this is the last time. Like, there won't be any sort of rescheduling of a visit for an 11th hour type thing if she was done with Josh Moore.
Good deal. Wish the kid best of luck, and helps us to narrow our board a little bit. One kid that they're not done with, and one kid that there'll be a pretty significant piece of news on tomorrow, and this may break even by the time that our listeners get a chance to listen to this podcast. But Bud Warren Thompson appears to be making his decision tomorrow. And by all accounts, it is down to Florida State, South Carolina. And those that wear garnet feel confident, but that would be a dumb statement to make between those two schools. But those in Tallahassee probably have to feel pretty good about where he ultimately lands.
Yeah, and because people might be listening to this podcast at different times, by tomorrow, you mean Wednesday. Thompson said he's going to announce Wednesday.
Yeah, recording this 10:30 or so on the evening of the 30th, and yes, by Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, it appears as though the decision for one Warren Thompson will be made and widely known.
There's a good chance by the time you're listening to this that Warren Thompson's already committed to Florida State publicly, I think. And you said people in Garnet are confident. I think both sides are confident that he's going to Florida State. I haven't seen any South Carolina person as of 10:30 tonight put in it like,
and Spurs I, and up, I, dog.
And I follow the relevant South Carolina people on Twitter, right? I mean, Tony Morelli and JC Sherbert and guys like that who work for, you know, Rivals and Scout and 247 and those types who I feel like would be like, hey, you know, South Carolina feels they got a shot, that type of thing. None of that. There's no indication that he's going to South Carolina. So if he is, that would be a really big shock. I think Florida State did a good job with bringing the coaching staff down there on the visit. And in fact, here's what I think is going to happen. I think Warren Thompson is going to be a commit by the time a lot of y'all listen to this. I think Warren Thompson and his teammate Malcolm Lamar are going to go up on an unofficial visit this weekend. They've already used their official, but I think they'll be up in Tallahassee on an unofficial, maybe along with teammate James Miller, who is scheduled to come in on an official. They recently offered him. And look, maybe those guys, but hell, maybe by the time they get up this weekend, maybe they'll actually be doing some recruiting for the Seminoles. So we'll see about that. But Florida State does feel very good about Thompson. There's no doubt about it.
Good segue point, Bud, here to have us transition into some of the kids that the Thompsons and Lamars of the world might be recruiting for Florida State. So pretty decent little final visitor weekend that Florida State's put together. We'll just go through here and list those kids and kind of a brief opinion as to where Florida State stands with them. First name on the list is the quarterback that we've talked about a considerable amount recently. James Foster.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's been their top target the whole time. FSU, I think, feels strong about James Foster. LSU, to me, is the main competition. If you look at where people are picking and, like, you talk to people, this does seem to be trending for Florida State. I know they went in home on Tuesday. You know, Walt Bell and him have been connecting, certainly. You know, Foster was a kid who did like FSU somewhat before Jimbo Fisher left. Obviously, he went to the Texas A&M, that type of thing. And I think Florida State survived that. And I think LSU's the main competition, but I think, you know, Foster on campus is going to see the type of athletes he's going to be able to throw to, you know, a Keith Gavin, Tamarian Terry, guys like that. But I think things could go very well for him. There's no doubt. I think this could be a good win for Willie Taggart in a year that, let's face it, they really screwed up a year that had some truly great quarterback prospects, and Foster's not one of them. He's not a great prospect. He's a good prospect who has some upside and is going to need some development. You know, they screwed up the Fields thing pretty bad. But if this is your plan B or your plan C and you're able to land him, I think that's a good thing for the program. You definitely need that quarterback depth in there.
Treshawn Harrison is, again, a name that we talked about last week. West Coast kid that is headed towards Florida State this weekend. Looks like their main competition is Oregon, but just give us your opinion as to where they stand for the or where they stand with the wide receiver out of Seattle.
Went to Oregon last week. Florida State is going in home either Wednesday or Thursday. I got it right within my text. They're going in to make sure they're going to talk to him. Hey, man, the visit's going to go great. You know, they want to assure him. Getting the last visit, I feel like, has always made Florida State pretty confident. The main competition here, to be honest, depends on who you ask. Some people think the main competition is Utah. Some people think the main competition is Oregon. One thing that is certain, though, is that everybody seems to think Florida State is a major factor here. And that sort of united front from the people out west, hey, yeah, we think Florida State's really in play for Treshawn Harrison. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. There's no doubt that Willie Taggart connected with him well. You know, if you're Oregon, you're probably negatively recruiting the heck out of this kid, aren't you? With the whole, like, you know, Taggart only stayed here less than a year type thing. I would.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting him on Tallahassee, FSU is a different level of program than Utah is. So if Utah is really the main competition, unless there's some sort of, like, you know, different family type situation or something going on there, I think you have to like Florida State's chances there. He's not a lock, I don't think. But if I had to pick, I think I would pick Florida State for Harrison simply because of how good of a position they're in for the kid before he's ever even visited the school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my thoughts exactly. The place that they find themselves in with a kid out of Seattle, I think, is a very positive sign. Let's hope for no, you know, crazy flight delays or anything like that that might plant a seed in the back of his mind as far as difficulties to and fro. But gotta like Florida State's chances a good bit as we head into the final weekend with Treshawn Harrison. So, But I, you know, I've certainly followed recruiting for a long time and follow recruiting at a much more detailed level than just kind of the lay college football fan. But every once in a while, there's a prospect that pops up that, for me personally, it's really nice that one of my better friends is a true expert in the field, and I can give you a call and get a little bit better idea as to what exactly Florida State looks like with a kid like Keyshawn Helton. Now, when you're talking about, you know, maybe having a baseline knowledge of something, but wanting to be able to get in front of an expert and be able to talk to somebody who really knows the ins and outs of a field, I don't know if there's any better segue for us to discuss our partnership that we're proud to have with Resolution Home Loans.
Dude, no doubt. And did you see who gave Resolution Home Loans a shout out today?
Who was that exactly?
That is pro golfer, Florida State alum on the web.com tour, Hank Lobota. Pretty awesome.
I did see that. That's fantastic.
So I tweeted that because I saw that he had back-to-back top 10 finishes to start his web.com career. That's pretty awesome. Tied for ninth and then tied for fourth at the Exuma and the Abaco. And I was like, okay, so, you know, hit the range, no cast on the earbuds, question, profit, right?
Profit. I did see that.
And he goes, I always have no cast rolling while I'm on the road. Thanks at LA Hot Sauce. Thanks at Matt Social. Thanks at Resolution Loans for allowing that to happen. 5 stars all around. Hashtag do something. I was like, wow. Like, oh. we got a pro golfer repping our sponsors. Yeah. So.
Congressman and a pro golfer, we're moving on up in the world. Yes, sir.
I feel like we need to send a gift card to Hank, not a mortgage gift card. Those don't exist. But the Madso gift card could work really well there. Why do we rep Resolution Home Loans? Well, first of all, it's a Knowles business. I mean, call 844-FSU-LOAN or FSUHomeLoans.com. Chad set it up, the hookup, just for Knowles fans, just for listeners of this show. You get to work with Shannon. Shannon's his ace, man. He's his Clayton Kershaw. He's the guy you want closing your loan. They set you up. They do the underwriting ahead of time, so you know there's no question in it, right? They knock it out. It's called their almost home program. They're going to eat the cost of the underwriting of the loan up front before you buy, so you know you're good. Once you find the home, all that's left is the appraisal, title work, homeowners insurance, great customer service. Look at their online reviews. Again, call 844-FSU-LOAN or FSUHomeLoans.com. And I appreciate Chad and Shannon jumping on with us.
So, Keyshawn Helton, but somebody that I've been able to talk with you about personally, somebody that I've received an incredible amount of phone calls, text messages, etc., about from friends of mine, a guy who's kind of jumped on the scene here.
His film looks great. I mean, he's incredible burst, good body control, seems to catch the ball very well. I like his work in the return game a lot. I think he could be a solid punt returner for Florida State. Of course, my view of what a good punt returner could be and the previous staff's view of what a good punt returner could be, we differed in that I wanted the guy who could actually catch the ball and return it.
Overrated. Overrated. You know,
they seem to use it as a method of discipline. That's kind of what I'm down to. Yeah. Like, otherwise, why the hell is McFadden still out there? Yeah.
Go back out there and catch a couple more balls, McFadden.
What's our punishment, coach? Yeah, punt return again. Yeah. No, not the punt return. But he's small. I mean, there's no doubt. He's small. Tennessee's on him. USF's on him. Now, here's a fun fact for it. Did you know he's actually the nephew of Derrick Brooks?
I was going to ask. I knew there was some kind of tangential relationship to Derrick Brooks, and that's interesting. Yeah, but it makes sense with the Pensacola connection there, but never hurts to have anything tied to Derrick Brooks around the program.
I don't think you offer a kid because of intangibles. I think sometimes you don't offer a kid purposely because of, you know, intangibles, but intangibles like that can be a good, what do you want to say, tie-breaking factor, right? Like, if the kid's on a borderline between him and another kid, maybe that's a kid you do offer. Mm-hmm. He told me he's going to visit this weekend. He's hoping that they offer, said, you know, never going to count anything before it happens. But that's clearly a dream school for him. And I think he could be a guy that could be used effectively in Willie Taggart's offense. And we talk about, you know, hey, don't reach for too many kids. Identify the spots where you need to grab a good number. Receiver's one of those spots. They have got to get more receivers in a hurry. You look at who they have at receiver coming back. Naquan Murray, George Campbell, who has never stayed healthy. Murray's not dependable either, despite the fact that he's a senior. I mean, the work ethic's got to improve, the professionalism, the attitude, that kind of stuff. Keith Gavin, again, has had health, you know, problems staying healthy. DJ Matthews, and then we don't know what we're going to get out of Tamron Terry. They have DeMarcus Adams committed. I really believe they would like to take four receivers in this class, if at all possible. If Keyshawn Helton's one of those, it's going to hurt your star rating, but I don't think it hurts your class, you know? And it's not like they're reaching for a bunch of kids who are 2 and 3 star types. They're being selective with it, which is exactly what we said new coaches in the era of the early signing period have to do. Selective reaches, try to keep the quality of the class up as high as you can at the same time. So, you know, that's kind of it on Helton. But you know, Ingram, there's another kind of sleeper receiver recruit they're in on.
Yeah, man, this is a kid that you and I have also talked a little bit about, a kid out of Metro Atlanta, the Jordan Young prospect.
Out of Heritage High School in Conyers, Georgia. I wrote a big-time article about this kid, so just Google Jordan Young, Bud Elliott, SB Nation. Now, Tennessee was the first major school to find and offer him, but this kid's a freak. I think if he had been known about earlier, there's a chance he could have ended up as a five-star, but through a confluence of you know, grades not being there until later on in the process, kind of like Xavier Peters, right? Not being like healthy, not, you know, not being stuck behind other really good players, you know, as a junior, he comes out, you know, 6'4" kid, wins the Georgia, 6A or 5A 100 meter hurdles, which is, you know, very impressive after a kneecap fracture. So to come back from that and do that quickly without having a real full track season behind him, you know, to get in shape to do it, goes out and puts up like 1600 yards and like 18 touchdowns. And you watch his film and you're like, okay, what am I going to watch here? It's probably just some track guy who's faster than everybody else and has, you know, 16 long catches, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not the case. He certainly has football speed, but he's also just mossing people, jumping over them, showing really strong hands, being physical. And it's like, whoa. I mean, there's not a whole lot of guys this year whose film I've watched who's better. I mean, Justin Shorter's better. He's going to Penn State. Amon-Ra St. Brown's better. He's going to USC. I like Terrace Marshall over him. You know, the Darian Kendrick kid's a different type of player going to Clemson. But there's not a whole lot of guys out there who have better film than this kid. He's been committed to Tennessee. Tennessee has tried extremely hard to get him not to visit anywhere else, right? I think that there's, you know, anytime that you're the school that's the first to offer and you get the commit, you're going to try and leverage that, right? And you're going to say, hey, man, are you in or out? You know, and you, I'm not saying Tennessee's doing this, but if I'm Tennessee, I would do this. I'd drop hints that maybe your offer's going to get pulled if you visit somewhere else, right? So if you're a school trying to get in on him, and there's certainly some schools, you know, Miami's tried, Auburn's tried, Florida State's tried, you got to be the one to convince him that, look, this offer from you is legit. Like, 100%, we love you. We want you to come here. And if that school is dumb enough to even threaten that they would pull your offer like that, you got nothing to worry about. Anyway, I got to tell you, I like their chances of actually getting him to come to Tallahassee this weekend. And I think they're going to go probably try to visit him in person this week beforehand to give him more assurances about that. We'll see how that all goes. I am not guaranteeing that he's going to come out to visit this weekend. This has totally been a wishy-washy situation, very much up in the air for the last several weeks. But I do think that there is more confidence now than there was in previous weeks that they can get him on a visit. And if they get him on a visit, anything can happen.
Mm-hmm. We'll move from one wide receiver wide receiver prospect that's committed to Tennessee to a running back prospect that is a current Tennessee commitment as well, and that is Anthony Grant.
Yeah, man. So here's the thing. I've been talking to my FSU sources, and I'm like, hey, without Corbin, did y'all like Anthony Grant? Like, did y'all love him in that you really want him to be part of your class, or were you kind of offering him to maybe put some pressure on Corbin to see if you could get him to jump back in, you know, and not have somebody come take that spot? And the answer's kind of mixed. What I did understand, though, was that Florida State does not feel like it absolutely has to take a running back in this class. And that does make some sense. If you look at their numbers, you have Jonathan Vickers still, who's kind of a fullback, but we know he can run the ball a little bit. Jacques Patrick came back. Amir Rasul is still here. Gabe Neighbors could run the ball some, although I think he's going to play more of an H-back tight end role. Cam Akers, Zaquandre White, Kalon LeBourne.
Yeah. I mean, just look at the three kids they signed last year. Yeah.
You got eight scholarship backs right now. You don't have to take a back in this class. We'll see if this kid comes to visit. If you pocket this scholarship, that's not the worst thing in the world. If you feel like this kid's good enough to take, that's not the worst thing in the world. I don't think there's a losing proposition here, to be honest. If he comes on a visit, you really like him, you think he fits your culture, you know, you weigh him in, you measure him in, he looks the part, then, you know, maybe you take him, assuming he wants to flip. If he doesn't, it's not going to kill your class not to have a back in it. I guarantee it won't. Mm-hmm. Picture this. Next year, you lose Vickers and Patrick, so you're down to six, right? Let's say that one of Rasul, or let's say you're down to five, because Neighbors, I don't think, is going to be much of a running back. So one of Rasul, Akers, obviously Akers is not going to leave. So one of Rasul, White, LeBourne, and Sheffield leave. That still gives you four scholarship backs, plus whoever, I think next year they're going to take two regardless. So you're already going to be back up at six. You don't have to take a back in this class. In fact, if you look at the official Tribe 18 recruiting board that I have up on TomahawkNation.com, which y'all should visit regularly, I took the running back position out and I moved it into the wild card slot. And I said, okay, they could take one, but that's not a spot that that I've identified as a need that they absolutely must fill.
Two offensive linemen, two kids that are already committed. Chaz Neal, Christian Meadows are two of the final prospects that appear to be making a visit to Tallahassee this weekend.
Right. I mean, two kids committed. Obviously, the Chaz Neal thing, we'll see. I don't know that he can play defensive end at Florida State level. I never saw him do it over summer camp. I've had multiple people tell me they expect him to be on the offensive line at Florida State. I think that's where his future should be. I think he's a developmental-type project to tackle, and maybe you can get something out of him. Maybe you can't. Christian Meadows is a kid who I think they like a whole lot. And Montezuma, Georgia kid, kind of nasty. There was some worry that he was going to float to Miami a while back, or at least consider them more strongly. I know Auburn was trying to get in on him as well, but he shut that down. Good job by Greg Fry and those guys to make him feel wanted and understand that he's a real need in this class. And so they're going to come in and they're going to enjoy it. Ingram, this could be a heck of a visit group this weekend. I mean, we already talked about James Miller, the linebacker from Armwood, a little bit, but just to expound on him too. I mean, the final kid maybe this weekend, is he going to qualify? I've heard different things on that. I don't have, you know, copies of his grades, but I've had some people tell me, you know, because I said, hey, are they going to get Peters qualified? And I've had some people say, you know, the other backer might be more of a struggle to get qualified. We'll see. And I've had other people tell me that's not true. So, look, seeing kids, I'm usually pretty confident in my projections as far as what kind of player they can be. You know, that's not guesswork. I'm seeing these guys in person. I'm seeing them more than almost any other guy in the nation, I think, really, with how much travel I do for SB Nation. Grades? Unless I've, played golf with the guidance counselor, it's real tough to know exactly what the grades are. Now, unless everybody tells you, hey, the kid's cool, or everybody tells you there's no shot. Mm-hmm. But when it's mixed like this, I don't feel comfortable saying yes or no. So think about this group they could have this weekend. Let's say Thompson commits Wednesday. He comes up there. Malcolm Lamar gets swept up in the Noldum. You get James Miller up there. That's three. James Foster's four. Treshawn Harrison's five. Helton's six. Maybe he gets the offer. Maybe Jordan Young follows through on the plan to come. That's seven. You got the two linemen, eight and nine. If you get the Buford running back to come down, Grant, you know, maybe that makes 10. But still, you're talking about nine, plus you already have how many kids they have already enrolled early on campus, like three or four. I mean, that's like 13, 14 members of the class already on campus. That's a big deal for sure in terms of getting kids swept up in that kind of null fever. Should be, I think the weather should be pretty good this weekend. What do you think?
Everything I've seen looks pretty positive. Tallahassee should be putting its best foot forward this weekend.
Okay, so we got 64 as the high, 37 as the low on Friday. Same thing on Saturday. Sunday, kind of rainy looking, but most of those kids will be going home on Sunday anyway.
Just wake up tired and go home on Sunday.
Most of these kids come in for visits live like in climates where it actually gets cold anyway. I mean, Seattle gets cold, Mobile, Alabama, or Montgomery, Alabama gets cold. You know, Pensacola gets just as cold as Tallahassee. There's no culture shock there. Conyers, Georgia, ditto. Chaz Neal with Tampa, don't think he's going to worry about the cold. Montezuma, Georgia, colder than Tallahassee for sure. So it's not like, I guess my point is here, it's not like you're going to have a bunch of Miami kids who are leaving like 75 degree weather down here to go up to like 55 degree Tallahassee, and all of a sudden they're like, oh man, this is too cold.
For first of February, conditions are about as nice as you could ask for.
There's no doubt.
I think the staff's put themselves in as good of a place as possible to close and make the best situation out of the class that they could, and be a lot of fun watching this thing come down to the finish line. And also, I really look forward to seeing how they transition into 2019 and what the first real full class ends up looking like.
Absolutely. All right. We will do our final predictions. I think we will record on Monday morning and then have it out like Monday around lunch, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will also join you for a post signing day podcast, of course. But that'll be, I think, the next two times you hear from us.
As always, want to thank our friends at For the Table Restaurant Group, Madison Social. They're kind of their flagship operation, something that we've been fortunate enough to talk about since day one. They're in the shadows of Dope Campbell Stadium, winner of Best Brunch, Best Happy Hour, Best Bar in Tallahassee. Not a whole lot more that we need to say about our sponsor. They're fantastic. Group, if you're looking to, if you're in Tallahassee and you're looking maybe to spend Wednesday, just sitting at a bar watching TV, watch signing day as it kind of comes in. Can't think of any better place to do that than Madso and any of the For the Table Restaurant Group. So thank you to them as always. Fortunate to be able to work with them and look forward to many more many more years of being able to partner with Matt and his team.
Oh, by the way, have you seen their new ice cream and coffee concept?
Yes.
It's pretty cool.
Yes.
So they've called it Magnus. It's opening next week. It's their new ice cream and coffee concept. It's on the side of Centrale, which is their great Italian concept right there. Right in the heart of College Town there. Shadow of Dope Campbell Stadium. You got Madso. You have Centrale. You have Township over there in Midtown. You have Soto. But this is pretty cool, man. Nice little place to stop and get a coffee or an ice cream. I think that fits the culture of that place very well.
Yeah. Now they do. I talked last time about their own kind of internal expectations and what they want at anything before they kind of bring it to market. And if they're going to bring open something like that, first of all, the quality will be fantastic. It'll be something that I think will become popular almost instantaneously, and look forward to see what Magnus ends up eventually turning into.
By the way, parents in town. A lot of people are like, College Town, is that just for college students? No, it's not. But I can totally understand how the name would be frustrating if you owned a business there. It's not. There's a lot of young adults that there's a lot of young families that can go down there. Madso's having their parent social on 2/3. You can hit them up for more details on that. Tonight, they had their Gossip Girl trivia. Also, they have a Talis engagement party, 2/3, Mardi Gras crawl, 2/3, National Signing Day on the 7th. The Madison Soch Ale birthday, 2/9. I Love You a Whole Brunch, 2/10-11. And then Galentine's Day on February 13th. So a lot of really cool events there. They do a great job keeping their customers engaged, and we appreciate them being a sponsor again with us.
Most definitely. All right, bud. Well, always appreciate your time. Glad to be able to put another one of these in the books. Excited to see what Florida State's class ends up ultimately looking like. Thank you, as always, to our listeners. The support we've received recently on social media certainly is just means a lot to us. So thank you very much. 5 stars if you get the opportunity to do so on iTunes. Thank you to our producer, Judson. And very much look forward to recording one of these in the next couple of days.